Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Big game last night, as I said, the Clippers just, I believe VJ sent a message. They sent a message to the rest of the NBA that we are as good as advertised. We are serious now. We were taking our time early in the season, getting healthy. We knew that the last month and a half and then April, May, and June were what it's really all about. And we are letting y'all know that when we have our full complement of players, nobody can mess with us. Because the Houston Rockets were running roughshod through the league in their small ball. They had beaten the Lakers. They had beaten several other good teams. And the Clippers just went in there, punched them in the mouth from the beginning, beat them to a pulp in Houston. And I got the Clippers winning it all, and I feel awfully good about my pick. I can't wait till Sunday. I'll be at that game with the Lakers. But we're going to stick to last night. The Clippers looked awesome, and I think they sent a message, VJ, that they are certainly the best in the West and probably the best in the league.
I'm not sure if they send a message, because I thought the message was already there, that when they're healthy, they got Doc, you got the Claw, you got PG, you got Pat Bev, you got Montrez, and then you got Lou Will. Okay, then they bring in the Morris brother. Then you bring in Reggie Jackson after his buyout from the Pistons, which gives you some scoring power and a veteran that's been there before can get things done and get his own shot when he wants to get his own shot. So I'm not sure if the message was sent. I just think that when games like that happen and then the Rockets go, horribly from the 3-point line, what, 3 of 20-something, 3 of 30-something, the first three quarters of
the
game.
They missed 20 straight.
Yeah, 20 straight at one point.
That's the question. Yeah. Why? They shot 16% from three. You know why? They heard footsteps. Why does a receiver drop the ball going across the middle?
Yeah.
Because Ronnie Lott is waiting for him.
Yeah.
That's why. And I'm going to tell you, you play basketball. When the speed is a little bit faster, when the team is a little bit more aggressive, when the hands are in your face a little bit more than usual, now when you are open, you're thinking and you know you got to shoot quicker. All right, I've been there. And the game is faster. Now I don't have time to take my time like I did in most games. Now I got to shoot it a little quicker, and that's enough to get you off and make you miss. And I think that's where – I don't think they – okay, some of it they were just off, but I think a lot of it is what the Clippers did to them.
Yeah, but we've seen the Rockets do this before, though. We've seen the Rockets in the Game 7 of a Western Conference Finals.
One other time. And that was a good defensive team, too.
True, but they've had times where they go through these dry spells. Harden has times where he goes through these dry spells. Westbrook isn't a great three-point shooter. Tucker is pretty much money from the corners. He's average everywhere else. So I just think games like this happen, and in the beginning of March, we could chalk it up to footsteps. But like I said, I don't think they were footsteps. I think we already see the Clippers – especially you do. You're picking them to win it all. We see the Clippers as the dominant best team, and that's going to win it in the league. So a game like that last night, in my opinion, should have happened. They should have gone in there. If you're a title contender.
Why?
And you're great because that's what
the
great.
The Rockets are a title contender.
That's what great. Well, hold on. We're going to get to that because I remember, if you remember,
let's
I was here last July, I picked them to go to the Western Conference Finals
the
on the show with you. Yeah. Well, on the show
you
with you.
You want to take that back?
No, I'm not going to. No, I'm not going to take, I'm okay, not gonna take
hold
it back.
Hold on. Stop the presses. The Rockets are getting to the Western Conference Finals.
Well, hold on. Let me explain. Right now, right now, they're within shot.
This is called a backtrack.
No, this is not a backtrack. They're within shot of a 2 seed. They're within shot of still being a 2.
Fine.
But they can also be an A seed. They can fall that far. Okay, it could go either way.
I don't care if they're a -1 seed.
Yeah, but it's no
meaning
such,
all 7 games are in Houston.
No such
they
thing.
Not beating the Lakers or the Clippers.
Now, well, we don't know that.
We don't know that either. We don't know if we're going to wake up in the morning. But I mean, practically speaking, we know
Nah, I just don't. I think the small ball works for them. I don't know if it would work for a lot of other NBA teams.
Works for them.
I think it works for them. And I do. We've seen Brody come in here, man, on that Laker team you talking about and hang 40-plus on them twice this year. Like, he's done it to them twice he's coming here.
Westbrook?
Yes, Brody.
It ain't
Westbrook.
That he won't get his. And I agree with you that the small ball is best for their roster right now.
Yeah.
It's, and they are sexy. They're fun to watch. They're must-see TV. They're a hoot. They're probably the fourth best team in the NBA behind the two ones in L.A. and Milwaukee. If you want to argue Boston, we can argue that. But they're just
Toronto?
Not good enough. No.
Okay.
They're not good enough to win the championship. That's all there is to it.
I agree
with
you with that. I have them in the Western Conference Finals. I don't think they're winning the championship.
So which L.A. team are they beating?
I think they could beat the Lakers in a 7-game series.
Could?
Yeah.
I think they could. Like a puncher's chance?
No, not a puncher's chance. Not a puncher's chance. The Lakers don't have a deep bench. They don't shoot that well. You're going to get LeBron. You know you're going to get AD. After that, you have no idea what you are going to get out
Danny
of
Green
it,
don't
out
show
of any,
up in the playoffs?
And, he has for the Spurs and for the Raptors a little bit. But he hasn't done it yet. He hasn't done it yet.
Right?
And purple and gold.
Ain't no playoff Rondo?
No, there's no playoff Rondo. That Rondo's been gone for about
a couple years ago in New Orleans.
Yeah, it was 2-3 years ago. But 2-3 years is a long time when you creeping into your mid-30s in the NBA. 2 years ago is a long time when you're in your mid-30s.
The rim protection, when Westbrook, he going to have, like last night, they had trouble finishing against the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
They not going to have trouble finishing against AD, Dwight, and JaVale McGee?
Maybe AD, I'm going to give you AD, but I think Dwight and JaVale, at some point, this magical type of defensive, you know, showing that they had over runs this season, at some point, it's gotta get them in foul trouble. And if either one of those guys get in foul trouble in a playoff series, now you're asking more out of AD. You're asking more out of LeBron on the defense. And we know LeBron likes to go stand down on a block on defense now. He'll get out on the perimeter, you know, to be showy when they're up 10 points and front run like he likes to do, guard a smaller guy,
y'all
talk some
think,
trash.
Like, quick note, y'all think Rob Parker's a LeBron hater.
Oh, come on, man.
This brother.
Man, listen. Proud.
He make Rob look
proud.
Like he's Skip or Shannon Sharp.
Proud
on LeBron.
I'm proud. I'm a proud LeBron hater, and I'm very valid though. He's a great player. He's one of the best I've ever seen with my own eyes. I just don't think he stands up to Mike and Kobe. That's just my opinion though. That's all I'm saying. But you know, I just think that when it comes down to a playoff series, I don't like the Lakers bench, and I don't like a 7-game series against a team that likes to run and get up and down and shoot a lot of threes and attack the rim the way Russell Westbrook does. He will get those guys in foul trouble, and if he does, they can find themselves in a 2-2 matchup, you know, where a pivotal game five can be there, and we know game fives can go anyway in a playoff series.
So you picking Houston over the Lakers?
Yes, to the Western Conference Finals. So, my Western Conference Finals are the Clippers and the Rockets, and I'm going to stick with that.
All right, so we're going to put some wings on that.
Yeah, Kukubarrow.
If I win,
you got to come. Yeah, you got to come get the Kukubarrow. Yeah, when I was on last Wednesday,
I ain't been to Outback in a decade.
Listen, man, Kukubarrow wings.
Okay, all right. When I went, I didn't think my next time to Outback would be for wings.
Yeah,
but I will do it for you. But it's not gonna matter because I'm gonna win that bet.
Okay, well,
no question.
Yeah, look,
Houston, they're nice. They're a nice little cute team.
Yeah. Well, one other thing too, the injury bug has hit a lot of the better teams. Watching Golden State and the Raptors last night, I had no idea the Raptors had that many players miss double-digit games. 20, 18, 14, 14. I was like, wow, and they're still being able to keep it together. The Lakers have been able to avoid the big injury bug. They're only one groin, one slip, one ankle from that team looking like it.
Well,
even if it's a bench.
The case.
Exactly. And what I'm saying is they haven't had that yet. If something like that were to happen, we could really be looking at this Laker team saying, you know, hey, this could get real, real dangerous as far as, you know, myself, LeBron haters or whatever will come after the Lakers or come after them. But if something like that were to happen to even one of those big guys you just mentioned, You know, you let Dwight or you let JaVale pull something and they got to sit 8 or 9 games, they could be in a lot of trouble on the defensive end.
Well, if they lose LeBron or AD to an injury,
of course.
I mean, that's yeah,
I'm keeping
that
them
goes
out of
without
it.
Without saying.
Yeah, I'm keeping them out of it. I'm
they
talking about.
They can afford to lose another. I mean, it wouldn't be great, but they still would yeah. beat the Rockets.
Okay, well, hopefully they'll match up in the playoffs and you and I got wings on it. And if I win, I want Kukoburra.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Patrick Mahomes, the best quarterback in the NFL, Super Bowl champion, already been an MVP, all of that in just 2 years as a starter. It's unbelievable. His agent was talking, and Mahomes actually talked about this. Rob G, do we have audio of any of this? Okay, but I'm going to ask Rob G to read it and kind of give us the context. I think it's very interesting stuff, especially in light of what's going on with Dak Prescott as well.
That's right, Chris. Now, earlier, might have been late last week, actually, Pat Mahomes' agent Lee Steinberg was asked by a reporter, he says, hey, you know, this is probably going to be the easiest negotiation you ever had with Pat Mahomes. You know, just whatever, $40 million plus, sign, seal, deliver it. Well, he kind of wasn't so sure about it. He responded saying, you know what, he's going to get the deal done, you know, but we got to make sure that the Chiefs have a good roster because, quote, quarterback greatness is judged by Super Bowls, end quote. So that's what he said. Now, today, Pat Mahomes spoke to Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports. He's a very good NFL writer. And one of the quotes that he had in the article about his contract was this from Pat Mahomes, quote, obviously, I want to get a contract. Obviously, I want to provide for my family for a long time, do everything like that. But I want to make sure I do it the smart way, do it the right way. So I don't know exactly what that is yet, but I know that I want that my people and the Chiefs people will talk about it, will do it at the right time and for the betterment of the team, end quote.
Well, it sounds like Patrick Mahomes is a lot like me. All right, Patrick Mahomes is just saying, I'm going to get paid.
Yep.
I'm going to get my money. But if I need to, for the betterment of the team, if it means we get to keep Travis Kelce or lose Travis Kelce, then I'll take a little bit of a haircut. So if I could get $43 million a year, but we'd lose Travis Kelce, then, and I take $40 million and we get to keep him, then I'll take $40 and keep him. Now, the situation is this, VJ. Patrick Mahomes is fortunate. They're not in a position where that's the situation. They already got Travis Kelce locked up. They already got Tyreek Hill locked up and under contract.
Yep.
They already got Damian Williams, the running back who played great in the Super Bowl, locked up. So he doesn't have to. And I'm not, and I think Mahomes might be like this too, I'm not saying I'm just going to do the franchise a favor. You know, I want $43 million. They only want to give me 40. We're not going to lose players, good players, if I take 43. They can afford it. Give me 43. You're a billionaire. Give me my money. But I would take a little bit less if it meant I could keep a critical part of the team together because, as Lee Steinberg, his agent, said, it's about rings.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes wants to go down as the GOAT. I have said it. I was one of the first. People mocked me, especially the guy that usually is in your seat.
I know.
And he said, I'm crazy for saying Patrick Mahomes has GOAT potential. He does. But the way he's going to realize that potential is to win more Super Bowls. I like his attitude. Where you at?
I love his attitude. This is just another example of how the vanilla bros in sports are
right.
Winning, man.
Knowledge.
They winning. They knowledge. We smart. We know what we're doing.
Too.
Exactly. Because
yes.
He's a vanilla brother too. And this is just super smart. Not only that, he has so, it's a different world. They got so many endorsements. They make money so many other ways. And I've always said this to people. I would love $150 million. Would also love $200 million. Cool. But if the $200 million was going to affect my long longevity of what's going to happen to me and happen in my situation, and the 150 makes things more concrete and more solid, I'm okay without that other $50 million because I'm not going out doing frivolous spending and stupid spending and buying things that depreciate the minute you purchase them. He strikes me as that kind of guy, and he's thinking that way. And like you said, at the end of the day, it's about them things that you put on your fingers. Those rings, the numbers and all of that is cute. That's for fantasy guys like me. But those rings, that's where you stand at the end of the day.
No question. And here's the thing. Even in your example, if you were a frivolous spender, it's $150 million.
Exactly. I know.
I mean, you're still going to be fine. And that's my thing. We're not talking about the difference between him making $350,000 a year and $5 million
a
year.
Yeah, that's different.
We're talking about 43 and 40 or 40 and 37.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to be filthy rich anyway.
Yeah.
So make sure you're in a great position to help your team and help you win big. And I like it. Now, that leads us to what is going on in Dallas with the Cowboys.
Ouch.
The reports are coming out. I'm not going to act like I know their entire cap situation and all that. But the reports are saying they don't look like they're going to be able to afford both Dak Prescott and Amari Cooper. And I'm saying this, VJ, because the reports are that Dallas is offered Amari Cooper a contract around $33 million a year.
Yep, correct.
They probably offered that knowing that if we give him this, we can keep Amari.
Yeah.
So if he is insisting on, say, being the highest paid quarterback in the league at $36 million a year, and it is going to cost them Amari Cooper, then I say to Dak Prescott, and I say it loud and clearly, take the 33 and keep Amari. Because as much as I like Dak Prescott, you are not you're not Pat Mahomes. You're not Aaron Rodgers. You're not one of these superstar quarterbacks that can survive without an Amari Cooper-type receiver. I mean, it's tough for the great ones.
True.
And it'd be very tough on him. So I'm just saying, I don't know if that's the difference, but if it is, take a little less and keep your number one guy.
Well, here's the thing. Let's go a little deeper. They're not even going to be able to keep their number one corner in Byron Jones.
Right. And there's already rumors. I've kind of resigned myself to losing him.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, because you still need guys that could cover in this league. I played corner in high school, so I have an infatuation and a love for corner.
You were a big cornerback. Yeah,
well,
man.
I mean, this is grown, man.
You look more like a defensive tackle.
Listen,
bro.
First of all, that I take that as an insult, number one.
No.
No, I'm just about to switch you. Number two, this is grown man stuff, man. We're talking 25 years ago when I played corner, all conference corner, by the way, in high school.
This is
all
biscuits. Say that now.
This is all cheese grits and biscuits and fried chicken.
Rob G told me was all conference, which I can pull it up here now.
Listen, Union High School, Clinton, North Carolina, 1994-95, my junior year, I was an all conference corner. I led the conference
my senior year.
My parents were military. My senior year, I was back in Virginia playing at a school called Potomac High School.
Okay.
So I didn't get a chance to go back there and continue my career at Union High School. But yes, and led the conference in interceptions that year.
Okay.
So yes, those are all facts. But back to Dak Prescott. Listen, I listen to you and Rob a lot, and I listen to you guys go back and forth on Dak Prescott. I disagree with a lot that you both say about Dak Prescott, because I feel that Zeke is so important on that team. I know this is going to sound blasphemous, and I know people are going to rip me for it. Receivers do kind of come and go. They really do in the NFL. And if you have the best receiver in the league, doesn't mean you're going to win. Best receiver in the league last year was Michael Thomas. Somebody tell me how far the Saints go. DeAndre Hopkins. Somebody tell me how far the Texans went. You don't have to have that superstar number one receiver, in my opinion, when you have a great O-line and you have a great a running game, as they do. So I would take care of my quarterback first, and then maybe you got these guys coming out of college this year. You got a lot of underclassmen and receiver coming out next year. We don't know what's going to happen with the Bengals and A.J. Green next year. They're going to franchise them this year, but it'll be free next year. I think you paid Dak. Now, the 40, you're saying 33. From what I'm hearing, Dak's asking for, he wants 40.
I mean, there have been reports about that.
That he wants 40.
Again,
so
if that means I'm going to lose Amari Cooper, I think Dak should take less. And I agree with your overall point in that if you don't, like, having a great receiver doesn't mean you're going to win the Super
Bowl.
We've seen some of the greatest. Julio Jones is in Atlanta.
Randy Moss.
Michael Thomas. Randy Moss. We can go on and on down the line. DeAndre Hopkins.
Tim Brown.
But usually it's because the quarterback is so good that he can make more out of mediocre or average receivers.
Mm-hmm.
I like Dak. But Dak's not that type of guy. Dak is not the type of guy that doesn't need great at least one great receiver.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
But speaking of MVP, let's move to the guy that I think is the front runner for the MVP. I don't even think it's very close. He won it last year. Giannis Antetokounmpo. We said they're playing the Lakers tonight in LA. I'm throwing this out at you, VJ. And I believe, Rob G, correct me if you heard somebody say it before me. I went on Instagram. I went on the iCouple and said with my chest that Patrick Mahomes has GOAT potential.
Yeah, you did.
All right?
You did.
And I want that props when it happens. All right? Now, I am saying, I'm not saying he's going to do it. I'm just saying every generation or so, there is a player or two that we can look at and say, you know what? He got GOAT potential.
Yeah.
Whether he does it or not, we'll see. Yeah. We looked at LeBron in high school. Oh, in high school.
Chosen one, right?
Said he's got GOAT potential.
Yeah.
Okay? Giannis, VJ, has GOAT potential.
I disagree. Yeah, I do. I disagree. And that's because I haven't seen the jumper yet, and I haven't seen him carry his team over that threshold, at least to a finals yet. So I can't say
GOAT potential. There was a time we could say that about Jordan.
I can't.
There was a time we could say that about LeBron.
Okay. All right, but.
Heck, there was a time we could say that about Kobe.
But Giannis is not Kobe. Giannis is not LeBron. And even though I am a valid and very valid and happy, true happy LeBron hater, he's not LeBron and he's not Jordan. He ain't none of them three dudes. Giannis and Giannis. Well, number one, all of those guys kind of had something at a point that you could just see that nobody else had. When I watched Giannis, Giannis is a player that is 7 feet tall. He can run, he can jump, he can dunk.
He can handle.
But we've seen
with the jumper.
We've seen this is a player. You might disagree, but I'm gonna go back into the 90s. I look at Giannis and I go, man. That's probably what Chris Webber would have looked like if he actually ran as fast. Hold on, just let him ran as fast. But he had a better jumper than Giannis does. Chris Webber used to be able to take the ball off the break as a young 23 and 24-year-old. You going to tell me Chris Webber couldn't get the rebound and push it up the court and spin on people and dunk on everybody like he did?
The bottom line is he didn't. Chris Webber didn't have the court vision that Giannis had. Chris Webber didn't have the passing ability that Giannis had.
What? Are you kidding?
And Chris Webber was at his best in Sacramento, he was playing in the paint.
What? Well, yeah, of course he's playing in the paint because they surrounded him with shooters and a great point guard
at
that point.
That's when he was at his best. Look, Chris Webber was a big guy that could handle some. So was Shaq.
Chris could pass
Shaq
too,
handle,
man.
Not like Giannis.
Not like Giannis.
Giannis is
what?
Giving you six dimes a game.
Oh, here we go with these.
I just talked recently with two ex-NBA players who told me, they put it in my head, that Giannis could be the GOAT.
Well, I
this
okay,
dude's no. jump shot is improving.
Where? Because he hits some threes from time to time?
Yeah.
It's not consistent though, Chris.
But it's getting better.
Okay,
just
right.
From last year to this, from 2 years ago to last year, the improvement was stark. From last year to this year, the improvement is stark. This dude, one of his ex-teammates was like, yo, people don't know it, but this brother got dog in him. He said he wants
I agree.
He wants to slay you.
Okay.
And he also told me, yo, because I've been saying, I said on this show, I don't think Giannis, when he criticized James Harden, that he knew what he was doing. I think it was just not growing up and being taught to be politically correct. He just spoke his mind, and he didn't know the consequences. No. This brother told me, yo, he was a teammate with Giannis in Milwaukee. He said, no, trust me. He knew what he was saying. He ain't got no love for James Harden.
I was about to say, that's how I took it.
Yeah,
I didn't take it as young and naive. I took it as, when I read it, I was like, oh, wow, okay. We got a Harden and Giannis beef in the league.
I guess we do. I'm not saying he's there, and I'm not saying he'll definitely get there. But 7 feet tall, shoots the three pretty well, or okay. Well, if he improves on the jumper and the three.
Okay.
How you gonna stop, dude?
Well, if he gets that, then you have a valid point. But I said,
but
right
I think
now,
I see the potential to get it.
I mean, God, potential. That word, it just that word kills me with
not
the NBA company.
Everybody got potential when
I
you
know,
that young.
Everybody's got potential.
Dude, how old is he? 26.
At 20. I thought he was 20.
I mean,
yeah,
that's
that.
All
yeah.
I'm saying.
No, and listen, great points, and you sway me a tiny bit because I like Giannis. I don't dislike him. I like Giannis,
you
just
don't
as
sound
we mentioned.
Like it, man.
No. I like Giannis. I just gotta call it like I see it, and you gotta do it. You gotta really do it. Like last
no,
year,
no, but
was,
that's what I'm saying. I'm projecting. Remember,
okay.
I'm the prophet of the moment. Rob likes to. Rob sullies it and calls me the prisoner of the moment.
Yeah,
he calls you
prisoner of the moment.
Of the moment. He's actually 25.
Oh yeah, that's I thought 24, 25. So if he adds that jumper to it, and that's what the game has gone
that's all
to.
I'm saying.
But in the dog in him, I do see. We know who he reached out to. He reached out to the dog of dogs in this era. Rest in peace, Kobe Bean,
yeah.
Mom, Black Mamba Bryant. That's the guy he worked with. That's the guy he told, go get that MVP and then go get yourself a championship. So, there's a novelty thing. A star saying he wants the MVP and went and got the MVP. Pay attention,
right.
LeBron. But if he adds that, I go potential. If I could, let me sway this in a question to you. The GOAT conversation, we have to put a max on the number of guys in every sport that we talk about the GOAT. Like for me, quarterback, you get like three slots. You don't get five guys to talk
well,
about the GOAT.
I think it depends on – I mean, I just think it depends on what guys do. But I'm generally with you. I don't have that many guys. Like right now in the NBA – I got three guys.
I was about
in the
to say, you got three right now.
I got Kareem, LeBron,
and Mike.
And Jordan.
Exactly.
That's
so,
it.
So then they, so that means there. So 10 years from now, when we're doing shows together, we bump into each other. You got to bump one of those guys out if Giannis has say three rings by then. And he's got the jumper, and he's been taking teams to the finals. Maybe he'll lose one, but he's got three championships. Now I'm gonna go. Okay, so who we bumping? We bumping Cat? We bumping?
Well,
Bron,
we'll
Bron?
Have to see
are we,
how
are,
it plays
yeah,
out.
Yeah, are we bumping Mike?
We have to see. Well, we definitely ain't bumping Mike.
We never bump. We never bumping
bumped.
Mike.